I've sung this song so many times, I think I'm just going to rename it My Testimony. So many saints going homes. Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not grace, well, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, and I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to my Jesus, who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, but he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, well, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, and I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Well, we are all thankful for God's grace. Well, I hope you'll take your Bible this morning and study guides as well, and turn over to Romans chapter 6. Started a sermon series entitled, But God. And this is another important scripture that shows that God intervened, God stepped in. Were it not for grace, where would we be? I'd like to take the time this morning to share. This is really the second mile of the Roman road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then after we share that with someone, then we have to share this with them as well. You can't go to heaven unless you know these things. So with that in mind, if you're there at Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are headed one way. We are born in iniquity. We're born in sin, but God. We're magnifying, glorifying, thank Him this morning for intercepting us, for choosing us in Him before the foundations of the world so that we could spend forever with Him. And I just want to lay, this is a simple message, but it's a message we can never get away from. This is the message for the lost person to come to Christ. And as the saved person, we need to remember this because this is how God brought us into the kingdom. So if you'd like to take a few notes this morning, the first truth is just simply found in the verse that we read. All humanity are born sinners, separated from God. We have a nursery full of beautiful little children this morning. They were born in iniquity. You're not going to have to teach them to lie. You're not going to have to teach them to take something that's not theirs. They were born with a sin nature, and that nature has to be overcome. They're going to have to be born again if they're ever going to be saved. So all humanity. Notice how it happened. I want to kind of lay a history out before us this morning. We know that God created. What He created, He said, was good and was perfect. He created Adam, and out of Adam, He created Eve and gave them a beautiful garden and gave them one rule. Told them not to eat of the fruit. And what do? Therefore, punishment comes. God is a just God. And when you break a law, that law must be punished. And we're going to see how that takes place, obviously, in the sacrificial system, which was a picture that pointed towards Christ. But Christ was the one who bore our sins. We just sang that last song a little bit earlier, David did, of Come, O Sinner. And it was a beautiful illustration of the act of justification, that our full sin debt was paid by Christ on the cross. So look there in Genesis chapter 2. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Well, he wasn't just talking about physical death, although they would physically die many, many, many years later. But he was talking about spiritual death, a separation. And if that had not been reconciled by God again, by giving them a picture of the sacrifice of those animals and being clothed by those animals as a picture of being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, Adam and Eve would have never had a chance to go to heaven. What happened because of this sin? Well, Adam and Eve were run out of the garden. And God put a mighty angel there to guard the entrance so that they could not get back in. They were forced at that point to grow their own food. They had become farmers. And part of the curse was, what did Adam have to do? He had to fight the weeds and the thistles. That was part of the curse. Another part of the curse was that Eve had to suffer through childbirth. I mean, I was there when my four children were born. That's an extremely difficult process. I don't know how God could have done that painless, but that's part of the curse. As a reminder of, but for God. Adam and Eve and all of the rest of mankind, as far as the married couples, there would be a problem between the two because one would be called the head of the home, but the other one would want to usurp that leadership role. Look there in Genesis 13, chapter 3, verse 16. God said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow at your and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. You shall your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And you think, well, that's a good thing. Well, you have to go back to the original language. And basically, it's not that she desires to be with him. She's desiring to rule over him. But God has put him in charge, and if he's not careful, he'll push that down, not in love or in kindness, but in his strength. And so now we've got problems in the marriage. That's because of the fall. So suffering and toil are part of the curse that not only all of humanity is having to experience, but Scripture says that the whole universe is groaning because of this fall. We have to understand that we're born sinners in order for us to be saved. I mean, what good is Christ unless he's the Savior? Unless he can literally remove this sin stain from all of us, which is all our children of Adam and Eve. We're reminded there in Romans chapter 5 that this sin came through one man. It entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death has spread to all men. Why? Because all have sinned. There's not a perfect person. There may be some moral people, but they're still sinners. Because the Bible says without faith, without trust in God, it's impossible to please Him. And so people that are moral people, they may be doing it for the good of society. They may be doing it for the good of their business. You know, they're just going to be honest people because that's good business. You can't be a dishonest person and have a good business. Or they may do it for their own personal popularity. But they're not doing it for the sake of the Lord. So all of those good works mean absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, we're going to see in a moment they're actually debt. That is added on to the rest of our sin because it's for our glory and not the glory of the Lord. We're reminded again in Psalm 51, this is David, as after he has committed the sin of adultery and the sin of murder and all the other sins that surrounded that and not trusting the Lord. And he's coming back to repentance, and he says in verse 5 of Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Therefore, the lineage of sin just continues on down throughout humanity. Then we recognize, again, Paul states clearly, by the Holy Spirit, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we're back to David again, and he recognizes that, yes, he has sinned against a person, but notice this really puts it in complete perspective, and we have offended a holy God. David said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. And then he makes this statement, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. God is offended at white lies. God is the perfect creator. God is a perfect entity. And sin offends him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that his wrath is stored up against the sin and against the sinner. This all plays important truth in order for us to understand who we are, who he is, and how we are able to even be in his presence. And you'll see this as this message unfolds. He is the ultimate judge. And justice must be delivered. God isn't just passing out cards of forgiveness. There's something that forensically has to take place in order for us to be justified. You just can't say, oh, God, forgive me, and just walk on. Well, what God are you talking about, and how is he absolutely going to do it? You think God has to just forgive you because you ask for it? There's more to it than that. Scripture clearly states that. And it's good for us to be reminded of that, and it's good for us to recognize that so when we share the gospel, we don't leave any part of it out. Sin is acting against God. It's acting against his very nature. It's acting against the commandments that he's given us, and we sin in one or two ways, or sometimes both of these ways. Again, if you're taking notes, we sin by commission, by what we commit. We easily understand that because we see there in Mark chapter 7, The Lord said, what comes out of a man defiles a man. But it's already there. Why? Because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, that's what's going to come out of us. Verse 21, for within, out of the, what? From within and out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. We were born that way and we live that way. The best that a sinner can do is sin. Again, I've already explained to you, even the good that they do is not good in the eyes of the Lord, although we're thankful for how it might help humanity. There's probably been some very generous people in your life that did not love the Lord, and we can certainly be thankful. That's a part, and we'll talk about this tonight, that's a part of just common grace that God allows. But it does not crack the door of heaven an inch. The committed sins that we... Again, if you just committed three sins a day, that's 1,000 a year. You live 50 years, that's 50,000 sins. What are you going to do with them all? You've already lived 50 years. How are you going to undo them? You can't. The math doesn't work anyway, but the Bible doesn't say that you can work your way to heaven. As a matter of fact, it says it's the very, very opposite. It's a debt, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So you have the sin of commission, then you have the sin of omission. Look there in James 4. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it's not just what you do, it's what you don't do. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. You don't do it. You just say, I'm not going to do anything. I'll just kind of sit back. I don't want to sin, so I'll just kind of not do anything. Well, that's no different. Forsake not the assembly together. You forsake the assembly together. That's sin. I mean, you think of all the things that God has laid out in Scripture for us to do, and all of them are for our blessing and benefit and for His glory, and then we either neglect doing it or we do just the very opposite. We commit a sin or we don't do anything about the good that God wants us to do. Have you considered that? Have you thought about this week? It's really easier for us to think about what we've committed, but what about the things you've neglected? Both of those are equally sinful. Both of those sins Christ had to be crucified for. These are big deals. These are things we must think through for the glory of the Lord so that we don't do them, so that He is glorified in our living. So all humanity, everybody who's been born since Adam and Eve, are sinners separated from God. Secondly, this verse tells us that all of humanity has earned eternal punishment. For the wages, those of you that work, you maybe get a paycheck every week or every other week or maybe once a month, you've earned that. The wages of sin, we've earned this death, not just the death of this body, but we're talking about a second death that's going to happen. We've earned that. We deserve that. There's nobody in hell that did not deserve to be there. They earned their way. They paid their way to hell. The wages of sin, you see there in Romans 6. It's death. In Ezekiel, we see the soul that sins shall die. We're reminded the progression of how this sin takes place over and over and over in our lives. When desire has conceived, that means we see something. We want it no matter what God has said about it. When that has conceived, it gives birth to sin. We think about it, we desire it, we do it, and then notice this, and when it is full grown, it brings forth death. At the very end, you're going to be paid for what you've done. And here's the thing up. It's not that you just try to do better than bad. It's not just a matter of you trying to weigh things out. Notice here in James chapter 2, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. It only takes one sin to go to hell, and we're born sinners, and so you're going to sin the first opportunity that you have a cognizant thought. You're not going to choose God's way. You're going to choose your way because that's how you're born. That's how we were all born. So this is rebellion against God. This is disobeying God. This is rejecting God. This is ignoring God. This is denying Him. And this is, and because of that, you're not going to live with Him forever and ever one day. And here's the outcome I want you to see in Revelation 20. I want us to understand the outcome of everyone that is not a believer, not a Christian. All that remain in their sin. This is the wage. This is what they're going to be paid one day. We need to recognize this, that hell is a real place. Hell is eternal. Hell is never going to end. Hell is painful. It's not a place where a bunch of, you're going to go down there with a bunch of buddies and sit around and talk about the old times. You're going to be punished by the wrathful hand of God Almighty forever with no hope of ever escaping or getting out. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's nobody that can pray on for you on earth. There's nobody can be baptized in your spot. There's nobody can pay your penance here. Once you die without Christ, you are there forever. John saw this, and he writes it in Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. This is the creator of the universe we're talking about here. Heaven and earth are not worthy to be in his presence. And there was found no place for them. You don't want to be that pronoun. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, that God is taking a record. And nothing can erase our sins. Our sins will be in that book forever until Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God, His blood will erase all of our transgressions and all of our forgiveness. He'll take all of those sins and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. He will take those sins and separate them as far as the east is from the west. But if you don't call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, the books are going to be opened and everything and every thought that you ever had is going to be exposed and you're going to have to pay for it. The wages of sin is death. That ought to take our breath. Even those of us that are saved, it's horrifying to think that somebody is going to have to go through that. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Well, how long have they been dead and where are they in the sea? This is God supernaturally bringing about all of that person back to judgment. He can do it. Don't think he can. Death and Hades were delivered up, the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. I mean, again, 3 sins a day, 1,000 a year. And you know, on a good day, you haven't been able just to commit 3. This is an incredible thought. To stand before the Lord God Almighty, and you're going to have to give an account for every one of those things. Guilty, 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 guilty. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the wage. And all those that were at this great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire along with the Antichrist, along with Satan and the false prophet. They're all going there forever and ever and ever. That's what's at stake here. So true justice demands that a simple person receive the payment of their wages. What is the payment? What is the payment for sin? It is a big thing. It's not a little thing that we, when we sin. Even as Christians, it's not a little thing. Although all of our sins have been forgiven, but in the positional state, we can't be moved. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But practically, we still must confess our sins because He's faithful and just to forgive us. In our practical living, it's still harmful and hurtful. Just to pile on a little bit later, a chapter later, we see again in Revelation 21, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, that's heterosexual or homosexual, God makes no distinction there. That's anyone that has sex without the blessing and benefit of marriage. They're going to hell. They're practicing that. I don't care how many songs they sang at Vacation Bible School when they were 6 years old. I don't care if their daddy's a deacon or a preacher or granddaddy was the greatest preacher that ever lived. They're going to hell because of it. Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, again, which is the second death. Someone has to recognize that they're lost. They have to recognize that their life's wage is going to be hell forever. That's the bad news. You have to explain the bad news before the good news can be the good news. If you just tell somebody God loves them, well, then that just kind of adds to their love list because their girlfriend loves them, their mother loves them, their dog loves them, and God loves them. That's really great. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. And without Him, if we reject Him, then we will be paid our wage for the way we live. The books are going to be opened, the receipts are going to be shown, and we're going to pay it in hell forever and ever and ever. I mean, some of us have gone through pain before. It's just been temporary. We look forward to the day we're no longer in pain. Doctors have helped us get through the pain of surgery or whatever you've gone through. But it was temporary. Can you imagine just being in a place where you can never leave and the pain never changes? It's constant and it's eternal. The eternality of hell is one of the most fearful things to even contemplate. So all humanity are born sinners, separated from God. All of them have earned eternal punishment. But God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wanted you to see the original language, the word there for gift is grace. Charisma. It means that God has offered a blessing. God has offered a free gift. There's a gratuity there. The example of that is deliverance from something. That God has given a gift that's going to offer some type of deliverance from danger or some type of passion or some type of deliverance from His wrath. It's a special and spiritual endowment of God. This has nothing to do with you. This is a gift. You didn't earn it. You did not deserve it. We've already seen what we deserve. We already understand what the wage is. Now we see what the gift is. It's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not going to stand at the great white throne judgment. You have already stood at the judgment seat under the cross of Christ. You've been found guilty and you've cried on the name of the Lord. You've received that gift that He's offering. And we're going to see in a moment how God literally is able by that gift to justify us. We see that Abraham was not justified by his good living and good works. Listen at the sarcasm of the Holy Spirit in Paul when he says, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." So everybody that thinks that they can work their way to heaven, they may have an audience. They may have people that believe the same thing that they do. The only problem is that God doesn't agree. Do you see the power of verse 2? Oh, they may be justified in their own eyes. They may brag about all the Hail Marys that they do and how many times they've been baptized and how many times they've taken the Lord's Supper because they believe grace upon grace upon grace keeps them saved. But we believe that the just died for the unjust once and for all. That's why if you have a cross on your neck and Jesus Christ is still on there, that is anti-Bible. And I've literally had people walk down and hand me Jesus who used to hang on their cross. He's no longer there. Why? He's been resurrected. It's one and done. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed. Abraham trusted what God said. And it was counted. That is an accounting term. It was counted to him as righteousness. That God took that belief, took away his sin, and put righteousness into his account. Why? Because he believed. Now, notice this. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. He's just added more debt is what he's done. All these people that think they're working their way to heaven are literally digging a hole to hell, working so hard thinking they're going up, but literally working so hard they're digging down. As an accounting term, this is like someone who brags about paying their house off that had a 3% loan, but the way they paid it off was they took their credit card at 21% and just transferred that over to their house and said, look, my house is paid for, but now look, they've got a greater debt. Do you see how foolish that is? And that's what people are doing, trying to work their way to heaven. They're just trying to take this higher interest to pay off that's still a low interest, but it's still interest that still must be paid. Why? Because they're sinners. They're in debt. Verse 5, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, what? His faith. There's nothing he could bring. There's no payment he could make. There's no height he could jump. There's nothing he could do. It's by trusting, just believing God. What? It was counted. It was put in his account. Righteousness. That's justification. And we see all through Galatians, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Christ Jesus, down there at the very bottom line there. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Why? Because we can't keep all of the law. We've already seen if we stumble in one part of it, we're guilty of all of it. So if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're not getting any closer. Matter of fact, you're going the opposite direction. And all those works, righteousness, religions out there, can you see how damnable they are? They're not helping people get closer to God. They're moving them further away. Any denomination, any church, any gathering that teaches that this baptismal pool with water in it washes away, not even if it's say one sin, rather than washing all of your sins away, they're liars. They're false teachers. They're sending people to hell that believe that. And I don't care who your uncle is. If he believes that, he's going to hell forever and ever. If you think doing the Lord's table has any gratuitous merit for you going to heaven, you've been lied to and you've been deceived. And anybody that teaches that is headed for hell one day. I don't care what denomination it is. This is the Word of God. God has clearly shown this in Scripture. There is no work that we can do that could ever compare to the work that Christ did. That's why all of our works are filthy rags. Why? Because what can we do to compare to the work that He did? Filthy rags is what they are. Not bringing you closer to Christ, taking you further away from them. That is the mission field. I don't care how religious they are. I don't care how many badges of Sunday school have go all the way to the floor. I don't care how much money they've given. I don't care what elder they are at what church. They're going to stand before the Lord one day and the books are going to be opened. And even their good works are not going to be in the positive side. They're going to be on the debt side. And God's going to send them to hell, all of His wrath that is being stored up against that, because it stands against the Word of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is God's gracious gift that has provided eternal life. You see there, and again in Galatians, we see in Romans, being justified freely, what? By His grace. We see in Titus in verse 7 that having been justified, what? By His grace. This is a legal declaration. Can you imagine going into court one day and you have been victimized, somebody has harmed or hurt your family, and you walk in there and you're ready for justice to be done? And the one that's perpetrated this evil, he's got standing there with a big smile on his face. He's got a good lawyer, and you're ready to hear the case being laid out before him. And he just says, "Judge, first of all, I just have something I really need to say to you before all this evidence is presented." Now, this is what most people believe forgiveness is. "Judge, I'm just really, 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 really sorry that I did that to this family. And I promise I'll never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever do it again. Therefore, judge, you shall let me free." Is that right? And what would happen if that judge would do that? The jurors would be appalled. You'd be appalled. The people that knew the family and loved the family would think, "Are you crazy? What kind of judicial system do we have?" Now, there may be judges, and there are judges that are doing that today. But not this judge. No, there is pent-up wrath that's been boiling and bubbling since the first sin that Adam and Eve, against all sinners who've rejected this grace and this gospel, and it's going to spew out. It can't be held back. Somebody's going to suffer for it. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the one who suffered for it. Do you see how important it is? You just say, "Oh, God, forgive me," and you just kind of go on your merry way. No, you have to recognize that there was a judicious declaration made that you were guilty. You were going to hell forever. And by the grace of God, He gave you a way to heaven through Jesus Christ. You want to see how bad your sins were and are? Look at Christ hanging on that cross. Look at the full wrath of God the Father. Now, here's the deal. If you think God the Father would do that to His own Son, what do you think He's going to do to those that reject His Son? You're all comfortable in your nice, cozy house. The heater came on, got a little cold the last couple of nights. It's so nice. You got a little money in your back pocket. Doctor told you you're in pretty good health. You're just thinking, "Man, I'm just going to ride out these next 20 or 30 years. Your heart is not on God. You could care less about the things of God. It's all about you. Mister, that's a prescription for hell forever." Having been justified, Romans 5:1, by faith. What? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before Christ, no peace. Just the expectation of eternal punishment forever. But with Christ, eternal peace. But for God. God has stepped in your life. We studied the life of Paul last week on the road to Damascus. God stepped in and spoke to him, stopped him in his tracks, turned him around. Paul had to trust. Paul did believe. But God made even that possible. That faith is a gift. Repentance is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Made by the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh, it wasn't free. Therefore, notice this in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's the part of moving us towards eternal life. That's the life now that one day we'll experience in glory forever. Nothing can condemn you anymore. All of your 1 John 2 says all of our past sins, all the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin, past, present, and future. We're no longer born in Adam. We've been born again in Christ. That's why doctrine matters. I sent out a little thing on Facebook, a little picture of a pretty little girl. She says, I love Jesus. I just don't like doctrine. I just don't like the Bible or something else. She in her mind, she had separated the two. But you can't separate the two. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. This doctrine is final. If you don't love the Word, you don't love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, you don't love the Word. It's a package deal. You can't separate it. But here's the great truth. Because of what He's done, we're no longer condemned. And because of what He's done, look there in Romans 8, 28, that He is working, God is working all things together for good to those who love Him. What is the good? It doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. The good that God wants to do in your life, and this is the goal of everyone in here. You want to know the will for God for your, in your life? You want to know what God's will is? Read His Bible, understand His Bible, and then live it. That's it. And in living it, two incredible, wonderful things are going to happen. And this is the good that He's working out for us. That in living His Word and doing what He's asked us to do, we're going to have the opportunity to bring glory to God. That's the chief aim of man, right? So here's the question. Is that your chief aim? If you're looking for any other type of good, you're going to be disappointed because that's not what God is working out. He's working out that my life and your life, by the way we live, will bring glory to Him, that people will recognize, it's not Alan Hurd doing that. This is the God that resides within him doing that. And we don't take credit for it, we give Him all the credit. And the second thing that He does is that He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the next verse says. I didn't include it, but if you go on and read, that's what He's been doing from the beginning, to conform us to be more like Jesus Christ. How can we become like Jesus Christ? The little girl didn't know. Her meme was, I love Jesus, but I don't love His Word. Well, the way we know who He was, it's not by what would Jesus do. It's what did He do? There's enough in Scripture. The Bible says that everything pertaining to life and godliness is found in Scripture. Any situation that I'm in, any situation that you're in, we can find the basic principles and tenets in Scriptures. It's not what would Jesus do. What did He do? And then just apply it. That is the good that God is working out for those who what are called according to His purpose. So this morning, hopefully we all can come to the realization that there's a lost and dying world all around us with family members all around us. That if God allowed them in the next moment or next year to die in their sin, they're going to burn forever in hell. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if God is drawing them, God has allowed us to be in their life to share the truth. Now, you can't make them to believe. But if God is dragging them to Himself, then what He's dragging them to is His Word. And here we are with it, and you are to take it to them. And for those of us that have been saved, were it not for grace? David said that's his testimony. Can I tell you, it's all of our testimonies. Wandering down some lonesome road to nowhere with my salvation left to me. And I know how that would go. Yeah, straight to hell. So those of you this morning who've heard this message and you're like, I just said, sorry, God, and I just kind of been living my own way. I didn't realize there was this judicial thing that had to happen, and Jesus had to pay my sin debt, and God crucified Him. God crucified Him. God put Him in the grave, and God raised Him from the grave. Therefore, we see that He had power over sin and death, and whosoever shall call upon His name, believing that, will be saved. If that's you this morning, you walk that aisle and say, I want that. I desire that. God's given me that desire. And for the rest of us this morning, you've just been encouraged with another way to present the gospel. The only way, really. And make sure you include all those points when you do that. So let's bow our heads this morning. Let's ask God to be honored in our decision making as we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ by these decisions that we must make. And may our response to Him be pleasing. Father, thank You, Lord, that although we were all sinners separated from You because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and Lord, because of that sin, the debt was just accumulating and was compounding, and we were going to receive our wage one day, and it was eternal damnation. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You, Lord, for giving the Holy Spirit to reside within us as our helper. Thank You for the Word, Your Word, that is our guidance, that shows us the way. And God, thank You for the believer. We don't ever have to worry about being condemned or going to hell ever, that we can look forward to being in Your presence, all of our tears wiped away, being in heaven where there is no sun, there's no need for it. The glory of Your Shekinah glory illuminates all of heaven. Lord, where the best thing that we ever had in this world will not even be needed or missed when we're in heaven. And so many more blessings that You have in store for us one day. So may this last act of corporate worship, our response to Your truth, be pleasing in every way to You as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and would you quickly respond?
Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise this house in vain, its builders strive. Do you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ.
Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your great gift of grace. Where sin abounds, grace always abounded much more. And for that, we are so thankful, Lord. Thank You for the truth that we've learned this morning. May we hide this in our heart. May we be so thankful. Not to pay You back for anything. How could we pay You back for all the wonderful things that You've done? But Lord, may we just live a life that honors and magnifies You and glorifies You and conforms us to the image of Christ. And in those things, You will be well pleased with each of us. Lord, give us a wonderful afternoon of rest. And then back again this night, this evening, Lord, to open Your Word, to study Your Word again, to be conformed to the image of Your Son is our hope and prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, church, let's sing out this morning.
Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. And I will seek You in the morning, and I will learn to walk in Your way. And step by step You'll lead me, and I will follow You all of my days. And I will follow You all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me. And I will follow you all of my days.
See you back here tonight, church.